and welcome in live. Of course, that makes this Blog Talk Radio, and as always, that makes this the live edition of Board Check. I'm Jeremy, the Impact Org. Thanks for joining us. All kinds of fun things going on in the world of the Carolina Hurricanes, in the world of the Atlanta Gladiators, and just in the hockey world in general. And let's be honest, in our own lives as well. A couple kind of somber notes, and I'm going to start with them early. Not because I want to get them out of the way, but we got some. I hope these uplift people more than anything. But obviously, you know, just Friday we had the passing of the 41st president, George H.W. Bush, or Bush Sr. as they call him sometimes. He was a real great guy. Really loved sports. Did a lot for this country, from being a fighter pilot in the military, from being a great father, being a great leader of this country. He was married to his wife, Barbara, for, I think they said 70 years. I mean, what a great example of a great human, great American. You know, his wife did just pass away here recently as well. You know, thoughts, prayers, condolences to the entire Bush family, all the friends, everybody that he had a part of and that he touched. And just wanted to, you know, say a few words on that. And I stand by this statement, any kind of, especially political leaders, but a lot of times after somebody is in such a prominent leadership role, you don't realize the extent and the effects of things they did until long after they're out of that position. So, you know, we can look back now and see some of the programs he was a part of, the things he did to change this place for the better. You know, not everything he did was perfect, but he did a pretty dang good job. Most of the time, people remember the two-term presidents. I believe he only had one term, if I remember correctly. For what he did in 4 years is fascinating and astonishing and fantastic all at once. But, you know, ultimately passing. Once again, thoughts, prayers, condolences there. And also the other kind of somber but cool note. Today's Board Check episode on the 3rd of December, 2018. It's called The Gambler. And I'm going to get into some gambles I think the Hurricanes and the Gladiators should consider in order to maybe change their fortunes for this year. But no, it's a lot of times when I come up with these titles, I try to come up with a reason to call them what I do. A lot of times it may be the main subject, or a funny pun using some of the main things we're going to talk about. No, but I called this The Gambler because today would have been the, I think, I want to say 82nd birthday of one of my favorite people, my great uncle, Gaston Williamson. My poker buddy, my pool hustler buddy. He was early in his life. He was quite good at pool. Played some kind of pickup games against some of the better people around, and that's not just locally. No, some of the more world renowned guys, and he could hold his own. When I was little, yeah, my dad and grandfathers all showed me playing pool and things like that. But what I always remember about my great uncle Gaston was you could always watch King Kong and Godzilla movies, the old ones, the really nice ones, the really cool ones, at his house. And also, you know, when I was 2, 3, 4 years old, he'd show us all some different cool pool tricks, and we'd be playing pool. And I remember, I don't know, I guess I was probably 5, 6 years old, and I'd wandered in from this barn where we'd been playing pool to see that him and my grandmother and a handful of other family members were playing cards out on out on the little sun terrace, sunroom he had out on the table there. And I just kind of wandered up and kind of watched for a minute. And at one point, they're taking like a little break for a second, I guess, get some other, so people could get some more water and tea and stuff like that, because they never drank or anything, especially around us. But he looks over and he says, "I guess you think you're ready for this green felt?" And I kind of shook my head, and sure. So over the next few years, every time I would go over there, he'd kind of show me a few things here and there as far as just card games in general. That's why a lot of you guys who have always asked me, "Hey, do you play poker?" I say, "No, I play cards," because there's so many different games you can play with cards. Cards have always fascinated me because there's such a story. Look up the history of why the deck of cards is divided how it is. There's a bunch of different theories, but there's a few common ones, and definitely check that out. But I always remember him as my poker buddy, and you always miss him, but especially on birthdays and such like that. So happy birthday, maybe you and your brother-in-law, my grandfather and grandmother. Maybe you guys are all playing a nice game up there in the clouds. So, thinking of you today, Uncle Gaston. So, is what it is. But now, you guys initially tuned in for those. Wanted to get them off. It is my show. So, if I want to go into somber notes, I can. But, no, it fits in because I learned so much from those people. Obviously, my great uncle, I learned a lot more up close and personal and hand to hand almost than the late President Bush. But there's a lot you can learn, taking certain gambles, certain risks, being the leader you need to be. And that's both of them. They always carried themselves that way. That's part of where I came up with it's not just in tribute to my great uncle that is called the gambler. No, we're at that point of the season where you need to start taking some risks. And if you don't start taking certain risks, hey, some of them are going to blow up in your face. That's life. That's just the way things are. Not everything's going to go your way. But life is like a game of poker. Or like a game of cards in general. Poker's easier to put into reference here. Because you never know what cards you're going to get dealt. But it's about what you do with those cards and finding ways to stay in the game when you're not dealt a good hand. You're not going to always be dealt the best hand. You got to know how to play them. As the saying goes, know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away. And right now, these people, or the Hurricanes and the Gladiators, are at that spot where they need to maybe pull off some cool bluffs or to purposely misrepresent the cards they were dealt in order to gain an advantage. And no, that's not cheating. That's part of the game. Let's start with the Gladiators. The games that they have played in the time since we last spoke, they had the game versus Greenville where they lost 3-2 in overtime. We had Overhart and the captain, Dick Nesbitt, with goals in that. Sabota had 29 saves in a losing effort. The dude is really good. I hate that we can't string together some wins for him because he probably has a terrible record right now. I don't have it in front of him. But that was when they hosted Greenville, and then over the weekend, they went to the Swamp Rabbits home and got shut out 2-0 there, where Savota had 35 saves in the losing effort there. Okay, things happen. As per a lot of seasons, one of the things I think makes the Gladiators have a tough go of it is the constant calling up and repositioning of the organization as far as gaining players, losing players, getting called up, and the ones that get recalled to the Gladiators. But that's what everybody deals with at this point. But also, I feel like there's some risks that could be taken. And we'll get into those here shortly. First, I want to tell you about the upcoming schedule. It's a pretty good home stand with a decent away game in the middle. You got Friday night, they will welcome in the Orlando Solar Bears. Saturday night, they will be in South Carolina to take on the Stingrays. And then this Sunday, they will host the Stingrays at the Infinite Energy Center. Now, let's get into some of the risks I think they should take. I have no problems with the roster. Let's say that first and foremost. We just got Matt Lane reassigned back to us from I believe he was in Providence. I'm not 100% on that. He might have been Norfolk. Either way. He got reassigned. It's good to have the centerman back. We actually only have two centermen on the roster now. You got Brett McKenzie, the big bruiser. Last game I saw McKenzie play in, I thought he was going to fight the entire other team. He tried. Had no takers. That's got to be frustrating. And then Matt is the other centerman. Now we have other people that are good at playing center. Obviously the captain, Derek Nesbitt. I've seen Nolan Laporte. Justin McDonald's done a pretty good job. Brandon Truk. When you look at left-handed versus right-handed, we're pretty well balanced there. In fact, we actually have a handful more left-handed shooters than right-handed shooters. These are just the forwards. I have no problems there. I have no problems with our defensemen. Olivieri has been able to put up some points. Ben Danford has been just a thorn in people's side, standing up right in the middle, getting in people's way. You got Kevin Montgomery doing all he's been able to do. Zach Malatesta, who has put up points on the board, much-needed points. You know, a lot of people don't realize Zach Malatesta is only 5'9", and that's without the skates. So I guess with the skates, he's about 6 foot. Maybe not 6 foot. About 5'11". Either way, he makes up for size with how he plays. I mean, you look at Bones, who's been able to do a fantastic job. You know, should have him back very soon if he's not back already. Sabota, the big-time prospect, the Nashville prospect, who's been doing fantastic. We have another Czech goalie. I mean, how crazy is that? And then Colton Finney being the third guy, back up when we need him. He's done a fantastic job. Out of the pride of Chatham, New Jersey. Hendrickson and all the things that he's done. All the, you know, risks that I want him to take have nothing to do with the promotions and all the great things they do. Everything they do from the Glad Girls dance team all the way to Maximus, to Coach Jeff Pyle, the things he's doing general manager-wise. Now, roster, no. If they want to add and subtract people as they wish, they know more of it than I do. Have no problems there. But a risk I think they should take is to shake up the lines a little bit. Now, that's a very easy thing. But in shaking up the lines a little bit, it's not just the regular lines I'm talking about. I'm talking about defensive pairings. I'm talking about the forwards. And I'm also talking about the penalty kills and the power plays. Just do something different. You know, it's part of what the Gladiators have done this year with their promos, with the things they do in the arena, with the things they do game days. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. When instead of doing the same thing over and over again, let's do something different. Hey, if it doesn't work, you can always come back to this because you know what solid performance you're going to get here. Because the puck has not been bouncing our way this year. But that's okay. It's still young into the season. Well, we're like a third of the way in. Then this next third, maybe it'll start bouncing our way. But if we keep putting ourselves in those positions to thrive and to get, you know, the solid performances in, it's going to eventually come around. That's the way this game works. That's the way life in general works. If you put yourself in good situations, good things start to happen. Because it's not like this team's making just easy mistakes or something like that. No, it's just things aren't just aren't quite coming their way. But that's the risk I think we should take. I think we should shake up the lines a little bit. All the way, every, you know, from the penalty kill, the power plays, everything. Shake them all up. While we're at it, let's see what kind of glad news there may be. Garrett Ross was recalled by Milwaukee. I don't know if I got into that last time, but he was. There we go. That's where Matt Lane came from, was Milwaukee. Good to have him back. I guess we got Matt Lane in exchange for Garrett Ross, basically. That's fine. Told you guys about the upcoming schedule with that. Let's talk about the Hurricanes. Since we last chatted, they beat Montreal 2-1. The game was in Montreal. I had the goal scorers right in front of me. Let's see if I can get those pulled back up real quick. There we go. Victor Rask putting in his first. Glad to have him back on the way there. Trevor Van Dream steps number two of the game. The second goal of the game plus his second of the year in. You know, that's what you need. Another solid performance like that. And McElhaney with 44 saves. Man, that's a lot of shots. 44 saves. But he gets the 2-1 victory on that one. Now, they played the Anaheim Ducks. They welcomed the Ducks. Lost that one 2-1, where Andrei Svechnikov, the number one, or the first round pick, had the lone goal for Carolina. And McElhaney with the 24 save loss in that one. And they pretty much get a bye week this week. It's kind of not really a bye week, I would say. Because there's a couple games. They did play the LA Kings last night. They lost that one 2-0. Just rewatched that right before we came on tonight. Because I was looking for particular things, see if there was a certain spot where I saw everything turn. No, it's LA got extremely lucky with an advantage that they were able to gain towards the end of the game. They pop one in, and then they get the open net goal, and we had to pull Peter Mrazek to try to get the advantage back. But Alec Martinez for them has always been a solid scorer. He's a little slow out of the gate this year, and so is Kyle Clifford. But both of them put in the goals that made it 2-0 there. Peter Mrazek had 25 saves in this. That's 25 to 26. It's not bad at all. But the crazy thing is at one time, I followed one of the LA Kings. Well, we followed the Kings here on the show. Plus, I followed the Manchester Monarchs. So, when I see the Cliffords, the Tyler Toffolis, those kinds of guys doing well, Muzzin, some of these guys, they came through their farm system. So, it's good to see those guys do well. Kind of sucks. Well, it does. They did it again. the Hurricanes, my team. That's okay. Upcoming schedule. This week they only have a couple games before we will talk next. And that will be on Wednesday. They will be in San Jose to take on the Sharks. It's a 10:30 puck drop on the East Coast, the best coast. And on Friday, a 10 p.m. puck drop as they finish up their California road trip by taking on the Anaheim Not-So-Mighty Ducks. Like I said, that is a 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Friday. I can't lie, we'll probably try to catch both those games and stay up and not get much sleep because my day starts very early, but so does a lot of you guys, so I'm not complaining. Things you need to know. Jake Bean was sent back to Charlotte to be a part of the Checkers. He was mainly brought up because Hayden Fleury had a concussion, and Brett Pesch is also activated off the injured reserve. Bean, who is only 20, made a fantastic debut, and I think the future is bright, and it's good to know that if you ever need a defenseman, he's one you can easily bring up. It's good to have Fleury and Pesch back. Ferland did get a concussion as well, waiting on him to clear protocol. Now, just a couple days ago, let me clear this up. Scott Darling and and Valentin Sekhov were designated for assignment, is the best way to put it. They weren't fired. No, they were. It's like this. There are two-way contracts and there are one-way contracts. A two-way contract means, like, it would be like Jake Bean, where they can call him up and send him down, for the most part, as many times as they really want. That's a two-way contract. A one-way contract is if you are on the if you're on the pro level, in order to be sent to one of the minor levels, you have to basically clear waivers, which means any of the other teams can claim you. So basically, this is what happened here. Sekhov and Darling were going to be sent down to Charlotte to clear space and to also get them some more playing time, because it gets crowded up here at the top, and it gets crowded there because sometimes they get sent down to the other levels. That's how the Gladiators get a lot of people from the Nashville organization, from the Admirals and such. So they were in the process of trying to send Sekhov and Darling down. Sekhov was claimed on waivers, because like I said, you have to clear waivers, just like in the NFL. You had to clear waivers. The Edmonton Oilers picked up him, but Scott Darling cleared waivers, and so he is currently in Charlotte getting some more time in, working on some things he was wanting to do, and I think ultimately trying to get as healthy as he can be. I think he's a little dinged up. I think that's part of been the problem. But you usually don't carry three goaltenders, and I think part of the reason they were is they were waiting on some injuries to fully heal. So now that all three are healed, we're going to let Darling kind of work on some stuff down there and recall him as we need it, because he's only 29. A lot of people think Scott Darling's like, I don't know, 106 or something, but he's not. He is only 2-4-1 this year with a 3.14. That's not that bad. .892 save percentage in 7 games. Not that bad. He did play a game in Charlotte on a consistent, and he made 25 saves in the 3-1 win. This is to not only get his confidence, but to get his legs back under him, because Scott Darling still has a great role to play. But also, Curtis McElhaney pretty much is taking the starting job over right now, because you follow the hot hand. And right now, he's the hot hand. And with Mrazek back healthy and everything, it's you know, you run with those two. You let Darling get some more seasoning, so to say. Get his legs back under him, work on some things. Charlotte is a great place to do that. So in order to do that, they had to do it. And they didn't get fired. A lot of people think they got fired. No. And they did. It's so weird the way it's set up. But like I said, basically, they're wanting to put both those guys in Charlotte so they could work on some things. But Edmonton had other plans for Valentin Zhukov, and when Darling cleared, you put him right there. So that's pretty much how that works. And I just want to make sure that everybody understands that, because it's easy to not kind of understand what's going on. It's weird how they phrase it. It's just another one of those sports terminology things where the term in the description really doesn't do justice to what actually is going on. I told you about the upcoming schedule. Now, here we go. Here are gambles, or a gamble or so, that I think the Hurricanes should do. They've already took a big gamble in starting Curtis McElhaney over not only Mrazek, but Scott Darling. They took the other gamble by sending Zhukov and Darling to Charlotte, because Zhukov got picked up by the Oilers. But Darling did make it down there. Those are some risks, because a lot of people say it messes with the confidence. I think it's going to help Scott Darling, because he's going to be able to work on the things he needs to. So they're already taking some risks. But here's some other ones. In watching as many of the games as I can, going back and rewatching certain ones that I can, here's what I see. You don't mess with the top line of Ferland, Aho, Teravainen. I like that one. But as far as the other one, I think it's time to move Svechnikov up to the second line. With Rask back, I don't know who you pair him. You could pair him with all kinds of people. But I think you move him up to that. You try to push those sorts of things. I mean, yes, it's his rookie year. Yes, he was just picked up in this year's draft. But this kid is just going to light things up. You just have to put him on the right place. You move him up to the second. I think that's where it's going to be. So it's just where that's personally what I think can happen. I think the other risk is maybe you lighten the load of McElhaney at this point. You just did get all three goaltenders healthy. You were lucky enough to get Scott Darling down with the Charlotte Checkers. Peter Mrazek is looking to get back in goal a little bit, but get McElhaney as hot as he is. You usually go with the hot hand, but you don't want to wear him out. You don't want him to get some sort of injury, because then you're right back in the same boat you were, and at some point then you start to resemble the LA Kings in the past 4 years, where between them and the Bruins, they went through about 17 goaltenders in 3.5 years. So as far as the risk, I would actually risk not playing McElhaney quite as much as you are, because I think it's going to put you in a better spot. I don't think there was much NHL news really going on. The ECHL is just, everybody has their cancer promotions that they just did, fighting cancer promotions. Right now they're everything from coat drives to teddy bear tosses and such, and these are such great causes that I hope all you guys are partaking in these, not just for the discounts on tickets, but because it helps out other people. And in the long run, just like the two people I mentioned at the very beginning of this, my great uncle and the 41st president that we should remember on days like this, it's about helping other people, because it's something I always say. Things can always be better, but somewhere somebody probably has it worse than I do. I'll be okay. Let's try to do things for those other people. You know, not everybody has the great support system or even the luck sometimes that other people do. So we should always try to help other people when we can. Do got to talk about this, because I did see it come up. The expansion team potentially going to Seattle in 2020. Yeah, if you want to go to Vegas and put a little bit of change on this one, you might want to go for the four box and not the against. It's going to go before the NHL Board of Governors here at the next meeting. And all signs in general are pointing towards this could really happen. As far as Seattle getting basketball or the Portland area, I think getting baseball, as Russell Wilson of the Seahawks has said, because he's one of the prominent people really pushing for this. He wants this area to grow and thinks the fan base deserves these, which I agree. It looks like hockey is going to be the first one. And it's going to severely weight things over to the West. At the same time, though, maybe they will realign and somebody like, I don't know, the Nashville Predators or possibly even the Chicago Blackhawks will be moved to the East, where they should be all along. I've never understood. Chicago kind of makes a little bit of sense as far as where they are. You know, even St. Louis to a point kind of makes sense. But the fact that a team in the dead middle of the state of Tennessee, that you're a couple hours away from the Atlantic Ocean and you're in the West. I know it's because the team that they were previously was from the West. This is just dumb. And I say that knowing that the Atlanta Braves here locally were in the National League West for a handful of years because they moved from a West city to here. But if you're going to add one in 2020 in Seattle, I think because of Vegas, because of Seattle, you've got to start throwing a few back this way to wait them out. I just think that's the best thing to do. But it looks like our time is slowly coming to a close. I want to thank everybody here at Impact Media, everybody here at Board Check, and, of course, all of you guys for tuning in and listening in live. Always hang out. Talk to us at all the events. Social media. We'll try to let you guys know when we're going to go to games, when we're going to be out. Come hang out and talk to us. We enjoy meeting all you guys. But I am Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. Go Gladiators. Go Hurricanes. Go watch hockey. See you guys next week.